Velvet. Nice to meet you. Hey there, Chuckle Fuck. This podcast is not for no narcs. It's not for no prudes. So if you're not going to like what we say, then I suggest you don't listen to it.
Welcome to Attention Deficit and Hyperactive Dragons, ADHD. My name is Sebastian, and I play Xylas Ramsbottom, a level 6 high elf druid. A fun fact for Xylas this week, I just wanted to make a note. He has three favorite drinks, apparently, because I listened to the old fun facts, and I've said favorite drink like three times. The fun fact for this week is that Xylas is part of a druid circle. That is the Circle of Land. I just wanted to go into the story of how he became part of the circle. So he was on the vacation that was mentioned last week, right? So, okay, there's a circle of druids, and there's a flower in the middle. Yeah? They're all just fucking jerking it to the flower. And then he just saw this and was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen, and joined in. So he's part of the circle jerk of land of druids, I suppose.
Now I understand why you told me I wouldn't like your fun fact today.
I don't like your fun fact either.
For the record, that's 3 out of 3. We don't like that fun fact.
Was it fun, though?
For Xylas, it is.
It was, yeah.
And that's what matters.
I'm Caleb, and I play Dr. Rosalind Rose Thompson, a quotation marks wood elf rogue, actually changeling.
Whoa.
We can do that now.
I can do that now. Her fun fact of the day is actually talking about her changeling thing. For actually the first, like I'd say like 4 to 5 years, or I'm going to say 5 years of her life, her parents kept her, what's the word? I had the word and I completely forgot it. Sheltered. Yeah. Very sheltered because she didn't know how to control her changeling powers or shaping. At five, she finally figured it out and she just copied a wood elf that she saw as a kid. And her parents taught her, like basically from 4 and a half to like five, and a little bit past that, like 5 and a half, she was developing her changeling persona and just kind of modifying a little bit.
Was it a wood elf lady that she may or may not have had like a little child crush on?
I think it was like one of the few times her parents actually took her to like outside, but like she was covered, very covered. It was like winter and she saw another wood elf child and she's like, oh, this kid's adorable. And her parents are like, and she actually didn't realize she was changing in public. Like she just kind of shifted and her parents kind of noticed it, but they're like, they were proud in the moment because that's like a major thing with changelings, but they're also like, we're in public, so not the best time for it. So like, in the moment, they were really scared, but they took her home and they were like celebrating and really proud that she actually got a handle on her changeling powers.
Core memory.
Yep.
Yes.
My name is Audrey and I play Vel, a Heron Gone Ranger. And her fun fact this week is that when she was a child living in the Abbey, she became really good at climbing trees. It was like a kind of like a hobby of hers. That when she had free time, she'd go climb all the trees and stuff and she would like challenge herself. But a really cool side thing that would happen is because she was always in the trees, she could listen and eavesdrop on people's conversations. So she learned a lot of things about the way the Abbey works and all of the relationships that happen at the Abbey through that. I've never did anything with it.
Any juicy tea on that one? Any chisme?
A lot of people go and see Bob the Octopus.
That's good.
She's not the only one.
I think child Rhodes and child Velvet would get along because they both like to climb things and just listen to people's conversations.
After a while, she learned how to do a big jump and then just like perch on a tree branch and then climb the rest of it. They would have been friends.
Rose was a little jealous of that. She had to use climbing gear.
Yeah, but they would have been friends.
Hi, I'm Daniel. I'm the dungeon master of this clusterfuck.
Hi, Daniel.
Hi, Sebastian.
Hi, Daniel.
Hi, Audrey.
Go fuck yourself, Daniel.
That's what I said.
Hi, Daniel.
Hi, Caleb. I just want to point out right now, Sebastian is currently wearing a pair of cat ears.
They're helping him feel his abilities.
No, I get that. I understand that. I wanted the audience to know.
Meow.
Yeah. My fun fact for today, because I was thinking about it. There are 15,000 aluminum cans made every second in the world.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Yep. You want to know why aluminum cans are shaped like cylinders?
So they're stackable?
Because that's the most stackable shape they can think of while also being structurally sound. And for the listeners out there, there is an awesome video called The Ingenious Design of Aluminum Beverage Cans by the Engineering Guy. Mm.
What about barnacle penises?
No.
Oh, my
no.
God.
I'm just kidding. I'm completely joking. Please don't.
Listen, it's a beautiful YouTube video about how aluminum cans are made, and I love it.
More stackable than like a rectangle?
Yes and no.
Can I say like...
So like...
Easy to manufacture, structurally sound, stackable.
So a rectangle has a stacking coefficient of 100%. There's no wasted space.
Yeah.
Aluminum can... this has like a stacking coefficient of like 94%.
But it's probably like way easier to manufacture than a rectangle.
Yep. And this is a lot more structurally sound than a rectangle.
It's one continuous piece of metal versus a rectangle.
It's three pieces of metal.
Well the circle bit.
Actually, no, yeah. Two pieces of metal.
Hey, Daniel.
Yo.
Do you want to remind the people about the clusterfuck we got ourselves into last week?
I want to talk about more about aluminum cans because they're my favorite subject.
But what you should do as a DM
leave.
And at a podcast host... is tell us what happened last week.
If I have to. Last week, you guys...
Sorry, if I have to. You don't have to do anything.
I can go home if you want, Audrey.
I would like to note the amount of head bobbing while both of these people are talking.
At me, Audrey. Come at me, bro.
How does it say? At us on Hyperactive Dragon. What is that?
Hyperactive D&D.
Hyperactive D&D on Twitter.
Come talk to us on Twitter, you guys.
Please. We should probably also put more stuff on Twitter.
We definitely should, but... Yeah.
Not to date this episode, but we are on a time crunch.
Yeah.
Because I do have a certain event that I want to watch.
Yeah, he's going to go watch people play competitive foosball.
Hey, one Sunday of all the year I've actually given a shit about.
It's like one of the biggest holidays in the U.S. in the United States. Okay.
Recap time!
Recap. All right, you guys talk to Leroy, the half-orc, the orc some more. There was a lot of really unimportant things that happened last episode. I don't even know why we need to recap. You talked to Leroy. Leroy was a dick. You were a dick to Leroy. Leroy beat up your best friend. Leroy beat up Audrey's best friend. And yeah, that's all that really happened.
Leroy spit in my face. I spit in Leroy's face.
Yeah. You guys, the last thing that happened was you guys, there was a massive, ominous black cloud coming towards you, killing all the plants and Cass's shop. And yeah, I think that was all that was most important last episode.
Certainly nothing with Rose Marie.
No, definitely. No. Rose did not tell Marie that she was a changeling. We did not hear the horrifying things that is Audrey's back. That is Velvet's backstory.
Nothing important happened.
Nothing
last
at
episode.
All.
So.
At all. Yeah, so you guys are standing here in the tiny windows of the cabin with this black fog rolling in towards you and this large mysterious figure in the fog. The door of the cabin was torn off its hinges. What are you guys up to?
Hey, Leroy. Is this the chuckle fuck you're talking about?
Leroy is very quiet.
Take your silence as a yes. Last Silas heard was that somebody was just going to come in. So he goes... Hello? Are you Cass's friend? Silas Ramsbottom.
Your voice is very muffled, and you can hardly hear it yourself.
Ooh, that's uncomfy.
Yeah.
Velvet is extremely on edge, and mm-hmm. that is all.
Okay. As you guys are standing here looking at this, the fog begins to slowly roll through the door. The sulfury brimstone smell is getting stronger and stronger as this person approaches the cabin. Just gonna sit here and watch what's going down?
Question, if I blink into the astral plane, can my body still be hurt?
No.
I'm going to blink into the astral plane.
You boom into the astral
plane
real
guys.
Fast.
Yeah. I just want to... Yeah, I'm going to do that.
There's a flash and Audrey and Velvet is gone.
Well, it's a new day. I'm going to have my cloak dude appear. I'm also going to name my cloak dude.
You have... I mean... I
thought he already had a name.
No, I never settled
I don't think
name.
It's been a full 8-hour rest.
What?
Yeah, you guys haven't had a long rest.
Got to change some things, Daniel.
Oh, hold on. Sebastian's had a long rest. Xylus has had a long rest.
Out of character. I don't know if we could like fight anyone right now. Like maybe we have to just sit here and chill and see what happens.
I wasn't planning on fighting if I didn't need to.
Yeah.
Wait, why not?
Because everybody's hurt.
You're all in various forms of fuck. Well, yeah, okay. Well, The rest of the party is in various forms of fucked up.
I thought we were all...
Nope.
Yeah. No, never mind.
I'm half health.
Never mind.
Marie has like 10 HP. Dubs has however many Sebastian gave him.
7.
And, I mean, Terry? Terry's solid. Terry hasn't taken any damage.
I'm going to wake Marie up.
What's going on?
Did
you fart?
Nope.
Okay.
Evil bad guy.
Oh, good.
Be chill.
Okay.
And I'm just going to kind of stand in front of her.
Just okay. Audrey, did you take Terry with you to the astral plane?
Yeah.
Okay. You're sitting there holding Terry. She's dangling, her little paws are dangling out in front of you. All right. So you guys are just, if you guys are just going to see standing here watching this, you watch as the room slowly starts filling more and more with this black fog. And then the person walks through the door. They are quite tall, very kind of lanky, but it's hard to make out what they are. It's just this large black figure. And they walk up towards Leroy. And Leroy walks up and goes, like, hands tied, like, I'm sorry. I didn't tell them anything. I promise. And you can hear, like, this low, like, and Leroy goes, please, 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 no, 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 no.
Fuck, did we awaken Slender Man?
And Leroy's like, no, 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 no. And, like, you see, like, the person, like, reach out. And, like, they're just, like, this black, all black kind of figure. And they reach out towards Leroy. And he goes, no.
Shit, it's a Death Eater.
No. And you're like, all of a sudden, you hear Leroy, like, no, I don't want to. And, like, you watch as, like, Leroy begins to, like, shrivel up like a grape. Like,
yep, definitely a Death Eater.
And he, like, just kind of slowly shrivels up into this, like, little crusty husk of a half-orc. Just, and then the creature slowly turns toward... Who would be closest? I think it would be a... Xylus or... No, I'm not going to do that to Audrey. It's going to be, like...
Well, she's in the astral plane.
Yeah, but Dubs would be really close, probably.
Oh.
For the record, I did move away with Marie. Dubs probably is the closest person.
Or me.
It's going to turn towards towards Xylus and point a finger at you.
Hello, sir. Xylus Ravensbottom.
And you're going to hear something in your mind like, what did he tell you?
He basically didn't tell us shit and said he couldn't tell us anything.
Good. You can take his place.
What does that mean?
Follow me.
No.
Roll a wisdom save.
Can I cast guidance on myself?
Yeah.
I'm doing that.
Is this our first encounter with a lich? Mayhaps?
That clucks some dice. You should re-roll that. It bounced off three dice.
It bounced off three dice. Did you roll a fucking one?
No. Okay. Wisdom save?
Yes.
18.
Okay. You do not succumb to its thrall.
Fuck, that was close.
What was the original roll?
4.
Oh, yeah, you would have succumbed.
Yeah.
It would have been bad.
You would have succumbed.
Succumbed.
No, he would have succumbed.
You did bounce off like a couple days. Did you play sideways?
It was basically playing pinball. That's what it was doing.
I have to look up the liches because I'm not positive.
Oh.
Oh, lichers are bitches.
They are bitches, it seems like.
And when I mean bitches, I mean badass bitches.
What is it? Wonderland from...
Yeah. Those are liches.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit.
Yeah. They're nasty fucks.
This is unintentionally very much like a lich, yes.
Us as level 6 would get our ass kicked by liches.
I was hoping it was a lich just because then I know somewhat what that is.
Xylus, as you beat the thrall, the creature turns away from you and turns towards Caleb.
Fuck.
Turns towards Rose. And you hear,
what did he tell you?
I never talked to him.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Good. It's going to point at you, and you need to make a constitution saving throw.
Oh, con save.
Not wisdom?
No. Everyone, actually, fuck, wait, hold on. Everyone needs to make a con saving throw.
Even though I'm in the astral plane?
Yeah, no, but Dubs does.
Got a dirty 20.
I don't roll for Dubs.
Okay.
12.
Sebastian, you begin to feel real dehydrated and dry.
Okay.
And you watch as, like, you kind of, like look down and, like, your skin begins to dry away and, like dry up around your bones. And, like, you just kind of feel the life removed from you. Just slowly but surely. And you watch as, like, the same thing happens to Dubs. He goes, what is going on?
How far away is Xylus?
From you?
Yeah.
Probably, like, 10, 15 feet across the room.
Can I throw some water on Xylus and that would be helpful?
No.
Water would not be helpful?
No, because you are not, like, just, you're not being dehydrated. You are having your life force stolen from you.
Okay.
You now have 1 HP.
Got nothing for that.
If water had helped, I feel like I would do this, but I don't know if I should.
And the creature just stands there and goes, "There's one more. Where are they?"
"We don't know."
"Who may you be referring to?"
"The third of you. The one doing the interrogation."
There was an... I'm sorry, I was out of it for most of this. I legitimately don't know. I'm not playing games. I legitimately don't know what you're talking about. I don't know who was interrogating who.
It's going to point a finger back at Xylus and go, "I can keep doing this if you would like."
My guess, not an expert in this, magic isn't my thing. She may have blinked into a different plane. I'm not sure which. Which is true, because Velvet never described to Rose what her cloak does.
Sebastian, roll a constitution saving throw.
Fuck. Can I just blink back and then he doesn't have to do that?
Sorry, he's already doing it. Hold on. Whoa. No.
You can I not cast guidance?
You have to see your casting guidance. Nope, you already rolled.
What? No, that's not how guidance works.
You have to declare...
Add to the number rolled.
But you didn't declare that you're casting
I would like to cast guidance.
Daniel, there's been several times where that has happened.
You can... Just it's part of the thing. You add it to the number rolled.
But throughout the entirety of D&D that we've been playing, there have been times where we just roll for things and then say it.
Damn it. Okay.
Yeah, what'd you get?
Hold on. 19.
Okay, yeah, you save. You don't lose body parts yet.
Okay.
Audrey, do you blink back into existence?
Does this person say more things?
Are you blinking back into
existence? Does this person say more things?
I don't know, but you
fuck, fine, I'll blink.
You blink back.
I blink back.
You blink back in, the creature's like...
"Hello.
Hi.
What did he tell you?"
Honestly, I tried to get things out of him, and he didn't really tell me much.
But he told you. He talked to you.
I just remembered I have a voice. Sorry. He didn't tell me much.
But you know.
He told me his life story, and I know him from when I was a kid, so we talked about that. I made him listen to a lot of my stories. But he told me that he cannot tell me anything. That was his answer every time I had a question. He said, "I cannot tell you anything."
Good. But you know too much already.
How do I know too much already?
He points at you. Roll a constitution saving throw.
15.
You feel dry.
Great. As
your life force begins becoming sucked out of you.
Great.
And then 5 of your fingers fall off. Just 5 random fingers fall off.
Does she take damage?
Yeah, you have 1 HP. And then 5 of your fingers fall off.
Okay.
And it looks at you and goes,
"This is a warning. Stay away from this now. Have worse consequences occur."
And then it kind of just like disappears.
Okay.
Yep. You're 5 fingers down. It can be on whatever fingers you want, but they're gone.
Forever?
They're on the floor.
Daniel, is there a situation where I get my fingers back?
Yeah, totally.
We gotta figure that out.
It's the world of Audrey, it's the world of D&D. Like, missing fingers are not a problem.
I'm gonna rush to find Cass.
Yeah, I was gonna yell
at Cass. I'd be real pissed if I lost my fingers and I did not get them back.
In the magical world of D&D, missing limbs and fingers, not really a problem for adventurers.
We just really have to put a finger on it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna run out and try to find Cass and just yell, "Cass!"
You run out into the main room.
Velvet has a fingering problem.
Oh no.
Not gonna say that. Just say we lost a couple fingers.
How about help?
Cass! Where are you?
As you run out into the foresty area, you nearly trample over a small mouse man walking towards the building.
Do I bump into him?
You like bump into him to like knock him over.
So I'm like, "You must be Cass's friend."
"Oh yes, hello."
I got a real quick question.
Yes.
Do you have any healing spells that prepare fingers?
Oh, I believe so.
Yeah. I point to the cabin. My friend lost some fingers. I don't exactly know what did it, but we need help.
Oh, certainly.
And then I'm going to still go find Cass.
You run off and find Cass.
Wait, who are you talking to?
A mouse man, apparently, I bumped into.
Oh, okay. That's not Cass's voice.
Sebastian, as you, like, you're standing there and all of a sudden just walk, toddling through the door, comes a little mouse man. He's about yay tall. Maybe 2 feet tall.
Hello.
2.5 feet.
Hello.
The name is Xylus Ravensbottom.
Oh, hi.
Did I come up with a name for him?
Name is Niles.
Niles.
That is a good name.
Right? What appears to...
He like starts up like,
"I do smell evil in here."
"I believe there has been. Who are you? What's your..."
"I'm Niles. I'm a friend of Cass."
Oh, you were the one Xylas Ramsbottom, you were called about the curse.
Yes.
Well, it appears that is not a problem anymore. The man that had a curse is now a shriveled grape over there.
Oh, that is no problem. Would you like me to bring him back?
Will he still have the curse he had upon him?
We can find out.
Is that of concern to you?
No.
There was a man that just dropped me down to one HP and intimidated the fuck out of this.
He, like, grabs your hand, like...
Yeah.
Oh, I see. What a shame. Yes, he's done quite a bit to you. Mostly repairable.
Have at it, if you like.
Oh, I mean, I heard there was someone missing fingers.
Oh, right, you're right here. I thought you were gone for some reason.
Is he inside?
Yeah, you like... Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize he was inside.
There's this small mouse creature wearing very brightly colored robes and a small wizard hat.
Hi.
Oh, hello.
Can I get my fingers back?
Let me see it.
Please.
Oh, this is... I don't know if I can return your original fingers, but I can get you something.
I would like to have fingers.
I can get you fingers, yes. Yeah. Can I see the... oh, they're there. And he like picks up the handful of fingers like, this is... Yes, this is quite complicated. I can get you fingers, but not these ones, sadly.
Okay, I'm gonna take them and put them in a plastic bag.
You take your
put them in my backpack.
You take your fingers and put them in a plastic bag.
So, would you like me to bring back the offending raisin, or let me bring your fingers back?
Can you not do both?
Bringing him back from death is a bit more complicated than bringing back your fingers.
Why cannot you cannot do both?
Because it will take a lot of effort and energy. I can do both, just not at once.
That is fair.
Okay.
Is there a time limit on either?
No.
We need to do one before the other?
Yes. The longer he sits there, the less you'll be able to talk to him.
If we wait to bring back my fingers, can I still get fingers?
Yes. You just can't have those fingers.
Like, no matter what, I can't.
They have been cursed off of your body.
All right, bring back the raisin, and then at some point, can I have some fingers back?
Certainly, yes.
Okay, fine, do that. Yeah, that works.
We should also probably talk about the curse, but we'll get to that later.
Caleb, can we pause for a second?
Yes.
Which fingers are you missing?
Yeah.
Your whole left hand?
The whole left hand. Okay.
Okay.
Sweet, so it's just like, just a nub?
Yeah.
Okay. Caleb.
Yeah.
Are you looking for Cass?
Absolutely.
You run around for a while and you finally find Cass sleeping in a hammock.
Cass!
What's up?
Some creepy spirit death motherfucker made Velvet loose all her hands. Fingers.
All her hands.
And made some guy a grape. Fucking raisin.
I believe you mean raisin.
Maybe a craisin. I'm not sure what variety of dried fruit we're working with here.
Okay.
Perhaps a mango.
Can you help restore actual fingers back to hands?
Yeah, what's going on again?
Just get her down
here. Scary motherfucker.
Yeah?
Cursed Velvet, I think.
Is he tiny and adorable?
No. I ran into Mouse Man. He's very helpful.
Okay.
When I mean death, is whatever you think of death personified. This motherfucker's pretty close to it.
I mean, I've killed some people in my life. I could be death.
Not like that. Okay, focused here.
What's going on?
Velvet lost her fingers because of a hand curse.
Okay.
Can you help restore that? Or do you know someone who can restore original fingers back?
Give me a second here.
Yeah, yep.
Okay. You're up to a very good dream, so I'm kind of confused what's going on. I'll just follow you, and we'll go from there.
Yes.
Okay.
Think about two things.
Yes.
Removing curses and restoring limbs.
Okay, turn around because I got to put clothes on.
Fair.
Cool. Rose just didn't notice.
Well, she's like blanketed up.
Okay. I'm either.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right, so back to you two. Do you want the raisin back?
I guess we have a time limit. I was going to say, can we wait till Cass gets here? But like, let's just do it. I'd rather have Leroy back,
yeah.
All right, so Niles walks over to the body and he begins pulling out small, like, spell ingredients and stuff from his cloak, and he begins laying them out, and he starts, like, putting stuff all over Leroy's husky corpse and starts mixing things up. And it's a solid 15 to 20 minute process of him just doing stuff. About 5 minutes into it, Cass and Rose come walking in. Cass, like, so, morning, guys. What's going on? Oh, why does it smell like ass in here?
That would be the man made of death. He made Leroy a crazin'.
There was a fog.
Hot damn. That is...
Velvet holds up her nub.
Also, I don't feel too good.
Yeah, no.
Not that it's Vel.
No.
We're both a little shriveled.
Yeah. Xylus, moving hurts. You also feel like very few of your joints are connected right now.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're stiff and every movement is pain.
I'm going to cast level 2 cure wounds on myself.
Okay. Audrey, she grabs your hand and goes, ooh, this is...
I have the fingers. I put them in my backpack.
Yeah, no, you're not getting those ones back.
Okay,
honey.
Do you want them?
I mean, I guess they're free range.
I don't really need them anymore.
I mean, you can keep them as a souvenir.
I'll think about it.
Okay, why don't you follow me outside? We'll get you set up with some new fingers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Velvet starts crying a little bit.
Cass, like, wraps an arm around you. It's like, it's fine. We'll get you some good stuff.
Okay.
She takes you out. Assuming she also can't move very well.
No, you are in a far, far worse condition. Like, Cass kind of has to, like, gently carry you out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Audrey, how do you feel about some branch fingers?
I'm super down for some branch fingers. Can they have flowers on them, like rings?
What? Yeah, totally. You can have little bands of tiny flowers on them, like rings.
Yeah, yes, so
that is what Cass sets you up with for new fingers, because...
Do they move like functioning fingers?
They are entirely functioning fingers. It's just...
Yes!
That the curse that the creature put on you makes it so that when a body part comes off now, or you lose body parts, they can never be reattached.
But I get branch fingers.
If someone can put new body parts on you, yes. But you can't regrow your old body parts. They cannot be reattached. You cannot be healed in any way to return those body parts back to factory material.
I have one question and then one suggestion.
Yes.
If we somehow knew someone with remove curse, would that be able to remove this curse?
Possibly.
And then second follow-up, in my research of... wondrous items and some magic items, I came across something that I can't remember the exact name of it, but it was something that's like tentacle whip. Basically, it was something that was a symbiotic relationship that you can basically ingrain it into your body and you can lash it out as a whip. Can one of your fingers do that?
Can I have that?
And if you want to pay money to cast, you
How
can.
How much money?
So you want whip fingers? Was that what it seems like?
Essentially, whip fingers.
500 gold for whip fingers?
I will throw at least like 150 to 200 gold behind that. I think that's a cool concept.
Can they also be branches?
Yeah, it's like little wrappy viney branches that make up your finger.
With the flower rings.
Yeah. It's like having tiny little flowering vines for fingers. That will whip out now.
Can I have that?
Are you going to pay the 500 gold?
Yeah.
You can.
Yeah. Yeah.
One last tiny little condition to the curse. All healing things now only heal you for half what they should.
You fucking cuck.
If you take a long rest, you get full healing, but potions, spells, all of that, only half health from them. So if, like, Cure Wounds would have given you 8, you only get 4.
Definitely a fucking cuck.
Don't fuck with what's going on here. You were told off. This is the warning.
I'm giving you 200 gold for the whip fingers, because I think it's a great
idea. Does that include me?
Okay.
No, you saved.
Oh.
Because you got like a 19. She only got a 14, 15.
Dern's Tentacle Whip.
You got a 15.
That's exactly what that is, yep.
What's it called?
Dern. Just look up D&D Tentacle Whip, and you'll find Dern's Tentacle Whip.
Thought it was a cool concept.
All the joint pain and stuff will subside after a long rest.
I'm at 14 health. I'm assuming I still don't feel great.
No, you feel like absolute shit.
Okay. Now I got a long rest again.
Yeah. Now you feel like the mountainest of mountain ass.
Okay.
Yeah. You feel like the hottest of trash fires.
Yeah.
Caleb, you don't feel spectacular either.
So do I have 5 of these?
You have a full thing. You have a full hand.
Each one is a whip. Yes. That's... No?
Sure.
That's what you said.
What's going to happen is it will come together as one whip.
As one whip.
Yes.
Okay. Well, what about the nene, though?
I don't fucking know what that is.
The whip and nene?
I
didn't need to be brought back to 8th grade, thank you.
I've vaguely heard of it. Fuck, I don't know what it is.
It is not the whip. It is definitely the nene.
Plus Superman 2 bonus attack and damage rolls with this magic whip. Extra 1d6 psychic damage. When you roll a 20 for an attack roll with this weapon, the target is stunned until the end of its next turn.
Yeah, that's going to be more than 500 gold for all of that shit. You just have whip fingers.
It.
thought you just wanted the whip fingers.
I wanted this.
Hey, Daniel, do you want to look up the item and then give us
I think the spell.
What is the item?
D-Y-R-N-S tentacle whip.
It may be a spell, but it's also the thing I was reading specifically. It's a symbolic thing that you can ingrain into your arm. Symbiote.
I don't think it's as powerful as you think it is.
Yeah, because there's a 5% chance of stunning.
Yeah, it's only if I roll a nat 20.
Yeah.
Okay.
She can have the rest of the dull parts from Marie for free.
And
we'll just call it even.
Okay.
So is it just like meat bucket damage? I would imagine.
No, because there's actually whips in D&D.
I think a whip's like 1d6.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's what it tells you to roll, right?
1d6 psychic damage. So it's like a 2d6 weapon.
A whip does 1d4 slashing.
Yeah, okay. I knew it.
Okay, so 1d4 with an extra
1d6, yes.
Where the fuck are you pulling that out?
There is an item in D&D called a whip. It is a weapon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Again, I have better weapons than this whip, so I probably won't even use it very often.
You only use it if someone takes all our stuff again.
Oh, true.
Okay. So you have fingers, air quotes, now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet. Now what?
Are you going to go back inside?
Yeah.
Okay. Xylus and Rose, if you're not going to do anything while this is going on.
I'm going to try to get my 8 hours in because I'm still fucked up.
How much HP do I have? Still one? Yeah. I'd like to take a long rest.
Okay.
Ooh, yeah.
Does he...
I want to ask the masked man, how long does this process take?
This will only take about 20 more minutes.
Ah!
I'm sorry. I'm bringing someone back from the dead.
It's all right.
I am retrieving his soul from the cursed astral parts of the plane.
No, it is all right. We are just incredibly tired.
I understand. Do you guys sit around for 20 minutes and watch
this? Does Rose have full HP?
No. I'd have half health.
Mm-hmm. Caleb broke there.
I did break for a second. And just kind of rolled into it for a
little
bit.
No, hold on. I made you roll a con save, didn't I?
Yeah.
You have one HP.
I succeeded.
No, he succeeded.
I got like a 19.
Yeah.
Still, the 19 was for the curse, I believe.
Well, either way.
Well, because...
You didn't say that Rose was withered.
Regardless, either way, it doesn't matter. I'm still taking my 8 hours.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Sorry.
Regardless of
it
me
doesn't
being
actually
hurt,
matter, yeah.
I don't give a fuck. I'm falling asleep and taking my 8 hours. Waking me up in 8 hours. I don't give a fuck.
Okay. Rose and Marie, fall asleep. Do you want to be a big spin or a little spin?
I was about to say roll for cuddles.
No, the cuddles are happening. Do you want to be a big spin or a little spin?
Probably with her, probably a little spin. And that's fine.
Okay, cool.
I think she's taller than me.
She's 5'5".
We're about the same size, okay. I think.
So... if the rest of you stay up, this took me like a 20-minute process of this guy like wiping poultices on this dude, chanting some words. He pulls out some books, and all of a sudden there's this like loud like, and then the raisin man kind of just like sits upright like, he's still a raisin, but he's alive. Just, oh, and Niles points him like, "Your prisoner is yours again."
Thank you.
He's no longer cursed.
So he could hypothetically tell us things.
I believe so, yes.
I turn into a bear and growl.
Oh, my.
The mouse powerful. Is a little turned on.
Hey, shut up, Caleb.
This is my last wild shape.
Oh, my.
Technically, didn't you get some back? You were the only one who got a full rest because it was 4 hours.
4 hours.
I guess I have one more after this.
Because remember, you woke up to find Dubs beaten and getting beaten up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this shriveled raisin of a half-orc looks at you and goes,
I point at my mouth, I point at his mouth, and I point at Velvet. Talk.
you begin, like, as soon as he looks at Velvet, tears.
You okay? Do you want a hug?
Uh-uh.
No, I'm not going to hurt you.
I want to die again. I don't want to talk to you.
Oh. You're not cursed anymore.
No.
No, you're not.
Okay. Water, please.
I give him my water skin.
You give him your water skin, and he just... Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm still very dry.
Yeah.
It's like a desert up in this bitch.
It's a bit unfortunate. Can you tell me things now?
Maybe.
You're not cursed anymore, so...
Okay. What do you want to know?
So where is Haverford operating out of right now?
He's operating out of a compound in the far north.
So he moved.
Yeah.
Okay, can you give me the address?
No, because I don't know the address myself.
Can you give me directions?
Maybe. It's normally a carriage ride there.
Can you give me the best of your ability to give me directions?
Yeah. So he great. He wants something to write with. He'll write down what he knows about the how to get there.
I have a thing.
It's totally easy. So he writes down like the base that he knows how to get there.
Yeah. So what's the deal with this curse shit?
So after I worked for Haverford for a while, he came to me and he said that he could make me what's the word for you can never die?
Immortal.
He could make me immortal if I signed a contract for him. And I did, but what I didn't know is that if I ever talked about him, what he did, or any of the operation, what just happened would happen to me, and I would be sent to a plane of existence so horrifying that I would know only eternal pain.
Is Haverford a fucking warlock?
It's like a thing.
He's more like a whorelock.
Jesus Christ.
It's when you combine a bard and a warlock together.
Fuck. It's good.
So that's why I couldn't talk about it, because being talking about it was worse than you just killing me.
We don't talk about Bruno.
Because if you just killed me, I go to the grand plains of my I go to the pastures of my god. I get to live out eternity.
Well, that sucks.
No, it's wonderful.
No, I can't talk, but like we just ruined that for him.
I was gonna say you could have just.
But I can't.
No, you couldn't have explained. You couldn't have explained it. That's fair. Okay, what about Jonathan?
The kid?
Yeah.
I mean, he mostly is with his dad whenever I've seen him.
Is he, like, taking over the family business type
he's
of
like
thing?
He's like an adult now.
Yeah, he's like an adult.
He's the same, basically the same age as Velvet. He's, I think, like a year older, yeah.
So he's, how old is Velvet?
She's 22.
So he's 23. I'm not positive on Master Velvet. Master Jonathan?
Ah, yes.
I know he goes to school and stuff, but otherwise, I'm not sure.
You don't know what he goes to school for?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Do you know how many people he employs?
There's a few of us, because there's like his main staff who help him through the day-to-day, which is like me and four other people. And then there's the people who scout out, because he did illegal fur trade, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fur trade and I would say human trafficking, but...
Trafficking.
Just
trafficking.
People, person trafficking, I guess, because it's not all humans.
Yeah. There's people that work under him that do the scouting for the kidnapping and everything. There's a lot of people that work for him.
Okay. Well, what is the compound like right now?
What?
You don't have to actually say it.
We're pretty sure it's in a cave in some goblin territory.
Okay.
Because it's in the far north, but it's in an area where there's none of the snow or the cold. And there's normally a lot of goblins around.
Okay, so would you rather be released or would you rather die?
Released?
What are you going to do if I release you?
I don't know.
I mean, you're not under the curse anymore. What are you going to go do?
I don't know. I thought I was going to spend eternity in hell.
You want to join our party, Leo?
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
He definitely needs some atoning for his sins.
Yeah.
Oh God.
And we have friends at a certain church.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea.
Give him a path.
Give him a path that would redeem himself so he doesn't spend all of his life in hell.
That is a very good idea.
Velvet's the only one that knows about that one, the church.
Yeah.
Rose does too. Remember when it was called the Pause Climb?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But does she know what goes, does she knows? Is she aware of what happens in the church?
She knows about it.
Okay.
I have a place you can go, Leroy.
Okay.
It's a good place.
Okay.
There's good people.
Okay.
Does that sound good?
Are you going to kill me?
No.
Okay. I guess that's fine.
Okay. I had another question, but I don't remember what the question was, so we know kind of where, we know what it looks like, what to expect-ish.
Cool.
For when we want to do that.
Okay. You guys can go to sleep?
If we can.
Yeah, you totally can. Nice.
I don't want to all go to sleep at the same time, so if everybody else wants to go to sleep, I'll stay up.
You'll get a point of exhaustion if you don't sleep.
Can she stay up for 4 hours?
Yeah.
Without getting a point of exhaustion?
I mean, if you get a point of exhaustion, as long as you long rest, you'll be fine.
Yeah. So, like, let's say you stay up 4 hours, okay. You get exhaustion. Well,
I'm gonna meditate for 4 hours, then okay. You can...
Yeah, that's fine.
Then I'll watch.
Are you going to sit up and watch Leroy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Make small talk or whatever.
He's not
going to... Play rock, paper, scissors.
He's not going to small talk. He wants to sit and meditate.
That's fine. Okay. He can do that.
All right.
What class is Leroy?
ranger, kind of.
Huh.
He's like a ranger druid.
Huh.
Ranger yeah. druid.
Huh.
So you would say he's danger?
He's danger.
Do I get along rest?
Yeah.
4 hours?
Yeah, you totally do. Everything from here now out is fine. You wake up, you feel cool. better. You're still a little sore, but totally cromulent.
Cool. And then I will take watch.
Sweet.
Okay.
Velvet goes to sleep.
Okay. You guys all wake up in the morning. Caleb, Rose wakes up.
What are our options here?
You want me to tell you?
Yeah.
Of like what needs to be done?
Yeah.
You guys know you have to go to Isladel to take care of. We'll retrieve Crawford Curtis's lieutenant to question him. Well, that's only the really pressing thing, that like the big quest you have. You have documents about mob activity in Isladel.
Did we ever send a letter back to?
You did.
Dagum.
Yeah, you sent her a telegraph.
Okay.
Side question: did I get a long rest?
Yeah, you guys all got long rests. You're woken up with breakfast.
Sick.
From Cass.
Thank you, Cass. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Yep.
I'm going to look at Velvet and Silas. It's probably the most serious Rose has ever been. And be like, not to discount what this whole thing, your backstory and getting these motherfuckers. Whoever the fuck that guy was, fucked us up bad. I don't know if we're strong enough to take him. But if you want to go that path, I will follow you. And I have someone I might be able to contact. No, I have someone I can contact that might be able to give us more information. I just don't know if we as a group are tough enough. Because, I mean, he collectively kicked all of our asses with no problem. Great man, who's Leroy, who's his lieutenant, kicked Dub's ass with no problem. And I'm not saying this is like a negative. Do we keep that in the back of our mind, get stronger, and then kick their ass? Or do we go after them?
I would like to look up at the sky and pray to my God and ask, should we develop some world building, some worldly experience?
You might want to develop some worldly experience if you're going to go after Haverford.
I completely agree, and that's why I asked.
Okay.
Because the person that came and retrieved this person was a god, like a demonic god spirit.
Yeah.
Fucking.
So if Haverford's got that under his belt, you might have a problem if you go at him right now.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm wondering, do we want to go take Leroy to the Red Current Church and then go back to the West Coast? Because we don't have any other business in Isla, do we?
Nope.
Not yet.
I'm tired of this coast.
Do we have anything on the West Coast?
There is...
Yeah, Isladel.
Isladel. If you went to Kaylay, I have stuff happening in Kaylay. If you wanted to go to stuff there, there's actually still stuff back in Havencrest to do.
Oh my gosh.
Great.
There is the several bounties you have for the Greymire.
Oh.
In Solora?
Yeah. The area that Solora is located in, it's called the Greymire.
Xylus's house is on the West Coast?
Yep. The big story thing would be going to Isladel and taking care of the lieutenant, yeah. But there's definitely other stuff that you can, no matter where you go over there, I will have story things.
Okay, so West Coast.
All right, step one.
There's also totally story stuff you can do in Atla if you stay here.
That's fair. Personally, I've had enough of the city for a bit. But solid step one is we're going to the church to drop this guy off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you guys want to do anything at the church or just be like, drop him off, Rich Roger, and be like, yo, he's a bad guy, need to be redeemed. Need redemption.
Don't let him leave.
Yeah. Because, like, you can totally, like, if you want to, we can play you dropping this guy off at the church if you want. Or you can just say you drop him off, and that's totally fine. You can also drop him off at the Abbey. Like, if you're looking for a place to drop him off, you know the Abbey is also probably a safe place to drop him.
We're going to the Abbey anyway mm-hmm. to get our train.
Yeah.
But what if that brings whatever the fucking thing is to the Abbey?
We're fairly certain the curse is off him.
Niles told you that the curse is gone. And Niles is still here.
Okay.
Him and Cass are out enjoying a cup of tea.
I also don't entirely trust him. And apologies for how this sounds. I don't want to put him in a place where there's a bunch of people who have fur when that was his history.
Mm. Oh, you don't trust Leroy.
I don't trust Rilo.
Okay. No. I thought you said you don't trust Niles. I'm like,
no, I trust Miles.
My biggest thought that, yes, but my biggest thought also is I feel like at the Red Current Church, if there needs to be force, there may be more eagerness to use force.
Probably.
Rather than at the Abbey, they're more peaceful people.
Or simply, if things go wrong, they can just call the Atlan police and expose his history.
Like right in the city.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to drop him off there?
Red Current Church, yes.
Okay. Do you guys want to just say you drop him off?
Yeah. I'm also going to give Roger his entire notebook that's translated with...
Okay.
Did you ever tell me about those things?
I told you if you wanted to talk to me in the morning, I could give you anything. But if you want to copy the notes, you can have
them. I want to copy the notes.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, you have all the notes that... You know all the terrible things that this guy has possibly done and witnessed.
None of them are pertinent. But
I mean, like, not really. It's, okay. It's mostly just a lot of stuff about collecting people, the selling of people, and stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So, I'm going to give Roger the full rundown.
Him and Curtis would 100% be connected. So, him and Curtis, Haverford and Curtis have definitely, there's definitely notes in here about Haverford and Curtis trading people.
Okay.
Fun.
Mm-hmm. That was all. Sorry.
No.
Yeah.
Good.
Curtis Crawford deals in the trade of slaves. Yeah. Haverford does. They talk.
Yeah. So, I'm going to give Roger, like, the full rundown of everything.
Okay. Roger.
Don't let him leave.
Roger goes, one sec. He runs off, goes, finds Risho. Yeah. Risho comes back and goes, I understand. You hand him off. Risho looks at him and says, this will be some hardcore redemption, my man.
Yeah.
And the guy just goes, oh, no.
Yeah.
Silas stares.
Also, he's permanently a raisin.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No matter how much water he drinks, he will never unraisin.
That's unfortunate.
As we leave, Silas stares longingly at the top of the church, and he doesn't know why. That is a joke just for you guys.
Rose looks at the top of the church like, that was a fun climb. Done that. For sure.
There's a packet of tuna up there.
Okay, back to the Abbey question mark.
On the way out of the Abbey, though, I'm gonna drop a letter in a mailbox.
Oh, there's a telegram for you.
Oh joy!
Oh yeah.
Okay,
guys, did we do a good thing?
I think
we did a good thing.
We kind of tortured the shit out of this guy.
Hey, that can fall on me. That's, yeah.
I was there too.
Yeah, that's true. That
less torture, more scared straight.
Yeah, scared the shit out of this guy and then brought him to a church and are redeeming him.
I never actually did any harm to him.
We didn't actually.
I did.
Kill him
you
for
did?
Once.
He has an X drawn in his forehead. For X is for Silas.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was curious about that. Yeah. Okay.
Well, it's also a reminder of his past, though. He can't forget it.
Yeah.
No, he's going to go to the United States and take off his Nazi uniform.
I was going
to. Can't forget.
Fuck you. I was doing that. God, fuck you. I was about to make that same reference.
You're welcome. Okay. You guys going to the Abbey? You going to make any stops on your way to the Abbey?
Does anybody need to make any stops? Except to maybe pet Dom?
Marie disappears into Pet Dom for 45 minutes.
Nah.
No, she doesn't. Marie 100% makes a stop somewhere, you just don't know where. Because she disappears for 20 minutes and then just reappears like, all right, cool.
Great.
Yep. Just going to the Abbey?
Yeah.
On your way to the Abbey, I want you to all make a perception check. Sebastian, roll the dice.
That's not good.
Yeah.
Make the perception check. Don't use the cursed dice.
Whoa, we have to roll dice? We haven't done that in a while.
Never mind, Sebastian doesn't get it.
I got an 8.
I got a 19.
I got an 11.
Yep, nope. Only Caleb gets this. Caleb, right outside the gates of the Lesser Atlan Forest / Central Park, you notice that for probably the past couple blocks, a group of people have been following you.
What does this group of people look like?
They are short, pretty, dwarven. They're dwarven-esque where they're short, but they're, real round and barrel-y. They got black fur and long snouts. They're very pig or boar-like. They're all wearing cloaks, and they're giving off, they're boar people.
I'm going to whisper to everyone in the party, we're being followed.
You got to be fucking kidding me.
My guess is they're probably just wanting us to leave this alone. So let's just be cool and walk out of the city.
They can't follow a flying train.
You say that. I really wish you didn't say that, because now they're going to sprout wings, and when pigs fly...
Yeah.
And hell's going to freeze over.
Let's just pretend they don't exist.
So you're just going to keep walking?
Yeah, Daniel.
Okay. You guys...
While keeping an eye on them.
You guys walk into the gates of the Lesser Atlan Woods. goes from busy, hustling, bustling city to the peaceful calm of the forest. Small birds chirping around you. Occasionally hear a frog, cricket, ribbit. And you make your way through. They follow you into the forest. And they stay on the out, like, at least 100 feet behind you. Ducking in and out between the trees around you.
Okay.
They don't really make any moves. They're just kind of following you.
Velvet, can you cast that spell you cast that makes us really sneaky?
Really stealthy.
Pass without trace?
Sure. I'm not a magic person, whatever
I'm
you think.
Pass without trace.
Okay.
I'm going to do my best to double back behind them.
Roll stealth.
We all, I think, would want to roll stealth, right?
And if you want to, like, double back or something.
Yeah. I would rather us not, so that it seems somewhat normal.
37.
Okay, so just Rose. Yeah.
Like, maybe
okay.
Rose went to go take a pee, take a poop, some kind of bodily function.
Yes.
Rose went to go take a steaming fat shit. You sneak off and you get behind them. Everyone else is quietly walking down the road. Remember, you're maybe like 10 minutes away from the Abbey. Caleb, you can very much make out these are large boar humanoid creatures that are following you. Each one is armed with like several axes.
Are they saying anything?
They're kind of grunting. Like when they get close to each other, you can kind of hear like grunting language.
Approximately how many are there?
About 10.
Jeez.
God damn, it's a lot.
And also, there is these weird, weird spider hybrid people. Only one of them though. Kind of like take the body of a spider, cut off the head, and put a human torso.
Daniel?
Yeah?
Is it a fucking drider?
Yes, that's what they're called, driders. Except like a small drider. It's like a small drider.
Oh, I hate these things. They're fucking nightmare fuel.
But they're not anime driders. They're like nightmare fuel driders.
I know.
Except they're fuzzy like jumping spiders.
So it's like spider legs, human torso?
Is a torso an...
It's
a drow?
It's a centaur spider. No, it is not a drow.
Okay, good. We didn't piss off a Lilith or whatever her name is.
Huh?
There is specifically a drow god that turns the most devout drows into driders. And she's one of the most, I think, one of the top powerful goddesses in the D&D universe. And if you piss her off, you're almost like you're just dead, I think. I forget that sometimes you pull from D&D lore, but not exactly use.
No, that is not what this is. That's what a drider is. Spider centaur.
Okay, it's not as terrifying as...
But it's not like... It's not like a drow. It's more humanoid. But it's real small.
Thinking like the weird spider babies from Demon Slayer?
No. Nothing that horrifying.
God damn.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Those will stick with me for the rest of my life, Audrey.
I mean, me too, buddy. Not fun.
But there's only one of the driders, and it's got a little bow.
I just don't want to lead these people back to the Abbey. Like
a little bow, like a little necktie, little bow tie.
It's got a little longbow.
Ah.
Yeah.
I was confused too.
Okay.
It's not as fun.
No, it's not as fun. No, this creature is not fun. It's covered in small armored
Could
plates.
Could this creature perhaps be a fiend?
Possibly. What are you doing, Caleb?
How close are we to the Abbey?
Last time I said you're like a 10 minute, you were still 10 minutes walks away. A 10-minute walk away.
Can my shadow friend shoot a gun?
Yeah, if you can give him an item, he can use it.
Do I get the item back automatically?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to talk to him, pull him out, and his name is going to be Bartholomew.
Oh, fuck yes.
And I'm going to look at him, and I'll be like, on my shot, when I shoot, you shoot. Focus on the drider. I'm going to hand him my rifle.
Okay.
And I have a fucked up.
Did I have a voice for Bartholomew? I don't think I did.
It was kind of just a quiet.
Okay,
like,
he was just quiet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to hand him like 15 silvered bullets and 15 regular bullets.
Okay.
And tell him to go that way.
Okay, he begins stalking off through the jungle. No, the jungle. The underbrush.
Okay, and then I'm going to pull out my sniper rifle and shoot the fucking drider. Let me double check on this.
Lolth. Is the goddess, I believe.
Yes, thank you.
Hey, hello.
Yeah. Dozen 23 hit.
Yes, it hits, actually.
Well, that's an automatic crit. And I'm using one of my high explosives. Sorry, I should have announced that before. High explosive. So that's 55 automatically, plus stealth attack, 73. So I'm going to roll again.
I forgot how much damage Rose does.
Yeah. Yeah, Daniel. I do too.
121
damage.
What the fuck?
You guys are goaded with the sauce.
To the Drider's forehead.
Roses.
You guys can also do equal amounts of damage. Roses just.
I cannot do anywhere close to that.
Well, because she's a rogue.
Yeah. The thing is, I can do that much damage to one thing.
Yeah.
You can do a fuck ton of AoE to a bunch of people.
Yeah. I have tidal wave and shit.
You have spells, Sebastian.
Yeah. So, like, you could do, like, 20 damage to 10 creatures, and that's more than I can do. I can do a fuck ton to one person.
So you let off the round, and you watch as, like, four of the eight legs of the spider just get blown off, and then, like, it just kind of falls over to the side, like, and then another bullet, like, through the chest, just get it now. And all the pigs, like, stand up and pull out their axes and start looking around.
Hey, Daniel, would that be a surprise round?
Yeah.
Do we hear this?
Oh, yeah, you totally. You hear two gunshots. And then, like, a whole bunch of screaming behind you.
Does a 22 hit?
Yeah.
Did the thing take a turn in combat yet?
No.
Jesus. Another.
What the fuck are you doing?
Surprise round?
Yeah.
Then I hit again and it has to take a turn.
Jesus automatic crit. Christ.
Let me double check if it's only surprise.
Caleb, it's dead. It's fucking dead.
Okay, Daniel.
Can we start running that direction? Do you want to?
Yeah, I was going to say no. Yeah.
Oh, that would just be a normal hit. Sorry.
All right, so the rest of you guys turn around and start booking it back towards behind you through the woods. You guys run up on 10 of these pig humanoid creatures standing there, each one holding like two axes, like looking around. And on the floor, on the forest floor, just like is like this drider. Most of its body is blown to shreds. These pictures like.
How far away is Caleb or Rose? Wait, far away?
I'm sorry, they pointed at me.
Yeah,
rude. How far away is Rose?
You probably see Rose like 60 feet behind you. Oh, behind all them.
Behind all them.
Yeah.
Sick. I cast Erupting Earth.
Okay.
Choose a point you can see on the ground within range. A fountain of churned earth and stone erupts in a 20-foot cube centered on that point. Each creature in the area must make a dex saving throw of 13. Yep, I'll let you do that.
Half of them succeed, half of them fail.
Okay, so I'm going to roll 3d12.
Whoa.
I think that's it.
Okay.
It becomes a difficult terrain.
Okay.
I do enjoy erupting earth.
Damn it. So half of them take 12 damage, half of them take 6 damage.
So the ones that take 12 are engulfed in earth and die.
Okay.
And the remaining 6 are like, and they start just like freaking out and running towards you guys.
They have difficult terrain, so they're slow.
Never mind. They only get about halfway towards you.
Does Bartholomew shoot again?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yes. Bartholomew.
These guys were squishy.
Look, I didn't think they were going to be tough. I just didn't want them getting anywhere close to the app.
One of the pigs gets his head exploded.
Do I have a telekinetic, I'm like, good job, Bartholomew.
Thank you.
I think it's
Audrey's turn. Audrey, your turn.
I'm going to try and hit him with my big spoon.
Oh, God. Okay.
15?
That does not hit.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go again. 25?
Yeah, that hits. That hits. That hits. That hits.
Oh, they have to make a con saving throw.
Oh, fuck.
God.
Yeah, they don't pass.
Why would they get?
12? Yeah. No, sorry. 10?
Yeah, definitely doesn't hit. So that's 14 plus.
Yeah, how do you kill them?
Another 3. That's 17.
So I'm gonna.
Can I, like, home run their heads?
Do we want to leave one alive?
So I'm just gonna implement a fun rule called.
We don't,
like,
want them to know how tough we are.
Well, get info.
They're not going to give us info, though, because they're probably cursed as well.
We have no idea who they are.
That's true.
I'm going to implement cleave with these enemies and all smaller enemies, where if you do enough damage to kill them and have leftover damage, that damage is then carried on to someone else. So you've killed two of them.
How many are left? 4?
Yes.
Okay. She swung so hard and knocked one head off, and knocked another head off.
Yes, there's three left. Because Bartholomew killed one. You killed two of the 6 remaining.
How big are they?
They're about dwarf size, like 3 to 4 feet tall. Real, real chunky little boys.
Can I tell Terry to maybe like tackle one and pin it down?
Yeah, you can.
Roll. Do I just roll
grapple?
Okay, I don't have
acrobatics, or athletics, or strength, or dexterity. It's your choice.
It's a 6. That's not great.
Terry does not take it down.
Yeah.
Yep. It's weapons. No, they're going.
Oh yeah.
No.
We have a lot of people in our party.
We do.
Andre, you take 10 damage as one of them hits you with its little axes.
Oh,
and slices and dices. Axe.
Little wax, little guy. Good job.
If you're Velvet, do you say that? Oh, little axe.
Yes.
Wait, is it Velvet right now or Vel?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Velvet.
Oh, yeah.
Even after the long rest?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Just kind of curious. I'm just curious.
Oh, that was the wrong dice. My bad.
Xylus and axe goes past your head as it threw it at you. Back to the top of the order. Caleb.
I'm going to use steady aim, which means I don't move, but I take advantage of my shot. And I'm out of high explosive
rounds. There's so much dust on the mixer.
And cat hair.
Yep.
25.
Yeah, that hits. How do you kill it?
Just shooting its head off. I want to leave one alive. I'm going to go for like 2 kills, I guess. And sneak attack. Gotta love them sneak attacks.
No, you very easily kill the remaining 2.
Daniel,
don't take this away. Do we want to leave one alive?
I am leaving one alive.
Yeah, he's leaving. There was 3 left. Okay. He killed 2. One left.
Rolling dice and putting up numbers. I enjoy it.
Okay.
22, 27.
Super duper dead.
And then I'm going to tell Bartholomew to shoot for a leg. Wound this guy.
You can't do non-lethal with ranged.
So if I shot off, like he kneecapped him, he would die.
Yeah, he would die.
Oh, then I'll tell Bartholomew to run up and just bash him with a rifle. But okay.
I don't know if he can get to him.
Oh yeah, Bartholomew does not have enough, even if he's dashed.
Okay, I'll just tell him to come meet with me. I'm gonna start walk. Oh no, I can't. I can't walk because it sets the AM.
Xylus, your turn.
I cast entangle on the remaining one. Strength saving 13.
Doesn't entangle do damage?
No, it just grapples or restrains.
No damage.
He passed. He got a 17.
Fuck. Well, that was the only plan I had.
Audrey. Sorry. Velvet. There's one of these pig creatures left. He looks stressed. He's holding 2 axes.
Really quick, out of character. Are any of us even going to be able to speak to this creature?
No, but there's a whole abbey.
Do you have speak with animals? Or can possibly Terry speak with him?
Gotta find out.
Fuck. Can I roll for grapple?
Yeah, go ahead. Do you get a 1? Do you get a 1, Audrey?
I got a 7.
Okay. You don't.
Whoa. Caleb, what'd she get?
Snitches get stitches, Sebastian.
Caleb.
So then Audrey got a 1.
I got an
1.
Audrey 7.
Okay.
So it's a 1.
An oddball special is what I'm going to call it.
Was definitely an oddball special.
Can I just knee myself in the face and that's it? Like, can we just get on with it?
You take 11 damage as he slashes you with his axes.
Okay, can I try again?
Yeah, you have 2 attacks.
What is it?
Acrobatics 17. Athletics.
Yeah, he got an 18. So he wriggles out of your grasp and he's going to disengage and try to run away.
Wait, he got a what?
He got an 18.
Oh.
He wriggled out of your grasp. He's going to disengage and run away.
Is he coming my direction?
No.
Can I roll for Terry to try and grapple?
Oh, yeah, totally. Sorry.
It's a 9.
He also got a 9. What's Terry's modifier? That
plus
she's,
1.
Yeah, no, he gets away and he keeps running away.
As he's running away, can I just shoot him?
Let me shoot him, yeah.
You will kill him.
That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd rather have no witnesses than him getting escaping.
Okay.
Do, 24.
Yep, that hits. How do you kill him?
Shoot him in the head.
All right, his head explodes like a watermelon.
Ooh.
Then I'm going to walk up. I'm assuming Bartholomew comes up to me. I'll get my stuff back. Mm-hmm. He goes back to a cloak. I'm going to give him a solid high five.
He gives you a ghosty high five.
Right. Wouldn't be a solid high five. It'd be a spectral high five.
Mm-hmm. There is contact, but it's not a good contact. It's not like a...
Hey, one of these times when I spawn you... You gotta tell me your story.
Okay. Yeah. And he...
Rest for now.
Back into the cloak.
And then I'm gonna walk up to my group and I'm gonna apologize. I'm like, sorry I popped it off, but we got too close to the abbey and I didn't want them to be in trouble because of us. Not that I don't think they can't hold themselves, but whoever the fuck these people are should not be the Abbey's problem. And then I'm not going to go loot the Drider.
The Drider has Drider. It's like it's armor plates and a longbow. That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Okay.
And some arrows.
Should we bury these bodies?
I got it.
Thanks, Silas.
I bury the bodies.
You mold earth the bodies into the ground?
Yeah.
Okay. You mold earth all the bodies away. You've left no trace.
We're real good at this.
Besides the blood splatters and limbs. You can't get blood splatters off the trees. You guys return to the Abbey?
It's the woods.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. You get back to the Abbey. It's, you know, it's nothing crazy going on. You can hear some gentle music coming from inside the Abbey. Out on the train, you see a couple of the otters just standing around, hanging out, looking at the garden.
Hey, Velvet. I don't know what the procedure with the Abbey is, but do you want to mention to them what just happened so that they're aware that shit might happen?
Yeah. No, I'm on it. I realize that we need to end soon, but I would like to go tell Mother Freya what is happening.
The guys?
Yeah. About just the whole story. I want to tell Mother Freya the entire story.
Okay. I don't think she has much to say, except she's very worried that you're okay.
Yeah.
Like 100%. Like, she gets very worried, but as long as you're okay, then that's fine.
My main objective with that is just like for her to know so that there can possibly be, so that, because I don't know if like they ever found out who she was or like where she lived, but like I don't want them to like target that or anything.
She's very understanding. She gets you some tea, something to snack on.
Yeah,
you guys have a solid talk.
Yeah.
If you cry, that's okay. She'll hug you.
But you have a solid talk.
You let her know.
Yeah.
She's very thankful. She's very glad that you're all right.
Yeah.
And if you ever need somewhere just to hide, you can hide here.
Sick.
Yeah. Do you two want to do anything?
I'll check the train.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Train's fine.
No dead bodies amongst the flying plant drones.
No.
I water the drones.
You water the drones.
I went to the train.
Okay.
Yep.
So you guys all climb aboard the train. Audrey, was there did Velvet want to do anything else in the Abbey?
Okay. Mm-mm.
Cool. So where are you guys off to?
West Coast?
Yeah.
Of the West Coast?
Should we go check the lighthouse? It's been a while.
Yeah, we could do lighthouse and check in with Havencrest.
That's a good idea. Do we want to deal with the Smiths, the Silver Sideline thing, and then...
Oh, fuck.
I don't know if it matters anymore. We'll see.
Oh, my God.
But I feel bad for that guy. Either way.
Maybe.
Yeah, we talked to your people and they said, sorry, it's like Amazon was having some delays and honestly, it was just like
just
a shipment.
Supply chain is really messed up right now.
You know, like COVID and everything.
Sorry, UPS lost your package. You know, we can give you a refund.
There's a worker strike.
Shipments are really delayed right now. Yeah, worker strike.
Yeah.
Some union shit going on.
What, you think there's unions in Atla?
Well, oof.
Whoa.
It's not in Atla. Huh? It's that West Coast side.
But his suppliers
in
Atla.
I'm just saying things. I don't know.
You're assuming that Atla has unions.
Oh, I'm assuming that definitely Atla does not have unions.
No, they're unions.
You're assuming that I'm saying things about unions as if I know how that would even work in D&D. I have no fucking idea.
I think it
would
probably work like a normal union.
I don't know.
However that works.
Kind of be kind of like a guild.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So where do you go on the West Coast? Back to Havencrest?
Lighthouse.
Yeah.
Lighthouse?
How long does it take?
Just going to be like a 3 or 4 day travel.
I keep working on drones, okay. And I have speak with plants now.
You do have speak with plants.
So that will go a little better.
Your drones can hop a little higher after your trip.
And like all of them hop now, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Okay.
So you no longer have to worry about a non-hopping variety.
Hippity-hop.
Velvet, what are you up to while you're on your trip?
Probably going to debrief with Weapon.
Okay.
And Terry.
Yeah.
And explain things so that they're aware.
Yeah.
Probably never explain that to them.
Mm-mm.
And then once everybody is better from that emotional experience, probably gonna paint some real weird clown girls.
So are you
really
like,
weird clown girls?
Are you just whitewashing your car every single time it's time to start painting anew, or are you just painting over?
Probably painting over, and then once it gets like super duper duper crowded, then I'll probably...
You're gonna have to whitewash here soon.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, it's like graffiti inside a train. Like
No, I imagine your room is just explosion of color.
And I probably don't whitewash the whole thing. I probably just do like sections.
Okay. Or however you want to get rid of the... Okay.
Anyways.
Rose?
So I feel like me and Marie are having conversations over this brief period of time about... I think at one point it was like, whatever you want to ask me, go ahead. And we don't have to get into it, but we go into it. But it's kind of like, it's a couple of days, but kind of she's just like, at the end of every one of our conversations or parts of our conversations, like, you should really tell them. And I'm like, now's not the time. And just like, she just keeps saying, you probably should tell your friends. And like, I don't know where we want to end, but like, I feel like we get to Havencrest, we stop the train, and Marie, like, I start walking towards it, and I'm like, guys, I have a thing I need to tell you. And she just kind of changes her hand.
Oh, to us?
Yeah.
I am confused.
We could also just end it
well,
there.
Well, that's a cool magic trick.
Ship.
Yeah. It's a long story. I'll explain later.
Are you made of... What are you... I cast Mold Earth on Rose to see if anything happens.
No, this is
just
not.
Like Xylus waves his head lightly in front of Rose, like, Xylus, okay, no, just checking, just checking.
Xylus, I'm a changeling.
Oh.
And without getting back into it again, I just tell him the whole story that I told Marie at the beginning of last episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys explore the lighthouse? Going to the lighthouse?
Yeah.
That's pretty much how you left it. Some seagulls camping out.
Can we roll perception?
Yeah.
Paranoia.
8.
12.
13.
Everything seems Gucci.
Okay.
The lighthouse is fine. It's exactly how you left it.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit more overgrown, and there's some seagulls camping out, but that's about it.
Now what? Should we go to... I guess we go to Havencrest.
Or should we end? I thought we were ending.
You could go to Havencrest, and we could end on something exciting in Havencrest.
Sounds fun.
Okay, so you guys going to Havencrest?
Seemed like you want to go to Havencrest.
It seemed like there might be something interesting to end on in Havencrest. Okay, so you guys taking the train to Havencrest or walking?
I feel like walking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys walk to Havencrest, and I mean, when you enter the city, everything is as you left it. It's a swag city, town, village, town. As you enter town, everything's pretty much as you left it. Everything's pretty quiet. Nothing, not a lot of craziness going on. Except for in like the center of town, in the center of Main Street, something a little different. There's a tall black stone pillar, maybe about 50 feet tall in the center of town. I think that's where we're going to end it.
God damn it.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to Attention Deficit and Hyperactive Dragons, ADHD. My name is Sebastian, and I played Xylus Ramsbottom. And I'd like to note, this podcast is now turning into 2001 A Space Odyssey.
God damn it!
But cylinder-shaped rather than...
No, it's a square.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Nice.
I've never even seen 2001 A Space Odyssey. I just know about the... Oh, fuck.
Obelisk.
My name's Caleb. I played Dr. Rosalind Rose Thompson. Someone who doesn't like revealing her true self.
Mm. My name is
Hello, Wizard.
Audrey had a Daniel moment.
Nice to meet you, Wizard. Hey.
My name is Audrey, and I played Velvet and Daniel.
Oh yeah, I was spacing out, thinking about something else.
Sorry.
My name is Sorry. Okay. My name is Audrey, and I played Velvet, who is absolutely off her gourd currently, and will probably be like that for a while. Anyways, I hope you enjoyed the sounds of our voices in your earballs.
Hi, I'm Daniel, and I forget that people are talking sometimes, and I start spacing out and doing noisy things. Thanks for listening.
All relevant links are in the description. Please leave reviews on whatever relevant podcast player you're using.
Yeah.
Spotify has reviews. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Does it have reviews or does it have just ratings?
Ratings.
I thought it was
ratings.
Too.
Ratings, yeah.
Bye.
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 I love you. Bye.
Mr. Witch and Mr. Light have an agreement with a group of hags who call themselves the Hourglass Coven. You see, they can come and go into the Witchlight Carnival as they please to steal from naughty patrons. But what happens when those patrons come back years later looking for those lost things? Find out as Wizards and Wine takes on the wild beyond the Witchlight. Two tables playing through the same adventure. One table more thoughtful, kind, and bold in their actions. The other table more decisive, more adventurous, a little more prone to taking risks. The actions of each table influences the gameplay of the other. Find out how it all shakes out with Wizards and Wine, the wild beyond the Witchlight. You can catch the podcast on your favorite podcasting platform, and you can catch the live stream on Mondays. Find us on YouTube and Facebook. We hope to see you at the carnival very soon.